Welcome to the X-Cast, X-Files Podwatch, episode 35, covering Hell Money and Jose Chung's From Outer Space. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and with me is Tanya Hernandez. What's up, Tanya?
Not much. Hello. Nice to be back.
Well, you know, this episode has a great episode, and then has a not-so-great episode, at least from my opinion, but we'll get into it here, Tanya. I don't know how you feel about Hell Money, but Hell Money was written by Jeff Vlaming, directed by Tucker Gates, and aired on March 29th, 1996. So this one, man, you know, the X-Files has a kind of has a bad reputation when it tries to tackle foreign cultures and how they interact with American culture. And this is like exhibit A of that. What are your thoughts, Tanya?
I thought it was respectful. I didn't think it was you know, exploitative or anything like that, like I've seen in other shows. So I thought it was all right. I mean, for an X-Files episode, it when you break it down, it's not, it's more of just a, it's more like a CSI Law and Order type of episode, because there's nothing, there's really nothing supernatural here, just the perception of supernatural forces. So this is more like a straight, you know, whodunit crime drama episode, which is very rare in the X-Files world, because usually it's like Monster of the Week or, you know, aliens. So this was definitely was very different. So maybe that's why it kind of feels like it's not one of the better episodes. But in terms of, you know, respecting Chinese culture and stuff, I didn't find it bad in that sense. I think they've done worse, especially when it comes to the more Hispanic, Mexican, Latin American episodes. Those being of Hispanic descent, those kind of got my, you know, made me cringe a little here and there. So I don't know. In terms of this one, I thought it was all right. I mean, I didn't think it was bad, you know, in terms of that space.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Law and Order, and hey, B.D. Wong is the main guest star here.
Yes,
so
yes,
speaking of Law and Order, he's great, and he's had a kind of meteoric rise to success. He's just a very familiar face these days in movies and TV,
yeah,
isn't he?
I've been a fan of his for years. Oh, every time he's been in something, I've always enjoyed his performances, especially I think one of his best showings was like in Oz, as the chaplain in that, and he was fantastic in that show. So he's a wonderful actor. So seeing him in there was great. I thought he did a good job in this episode.
Yeah, I think for me, I kind of zoned in on what his role in the episode was, and that's what kind of rubbed me the wrong way about like how it's like, oh, look at the mystical world of the Orient, you know, for
right,
Mulder and Scully.
Right.
And he's like their guide. There's always that one character who's the guide to
right,
this alternative culture for them, you know?
Yeah, but in response to that, I think they recognize that, because he even says that line about, oh, you think just because I'm your interpreter that, you know, I could just magically let you understand everything, and that's the only reason you're using me. So, like, at least, you know, the writers recognize that and actually put that in the character and saying, like, you know, he's not just like, oh, yeah, let me just interpret everything for you because I speak Chinese. But, like, you know, he trying to explain to them, like, you know, you don't really understand what's going on. And, you know, I can respect that they actually recognize that of the characters, that they can't just come in and just, let's get the Asian guy to talk for us,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it was, that is true. It was more self-aware about this than other episodes have been. That's a great point.
Yeah,
you know, and B.D. Wong, not our only famous guest star, Lucy Liu, is in
Lucy,
this. Are you kidding?
Lucy Alexis, I think her middle name was. She had a middle name when it popped up. I was like, what? She got a middle name? That's cool. Yeah, Lucy Liu. One of her first big,
oh,
you know,
very early role for her.
Big roles before Ally McBeal, where she just became like the breakout star in that show. So,
right.
Yeah, it was really cool. That's the one thing about the X-Files. I love watching these episodes again, because then you see like all these stars that are like huge stars now. They were all in the X-Files. Like, you could just make a whole episode, like a whole podcast about how many stars walk through the X-Files hallways, you know, and made it big, but made their start, you know, in an X-Files episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Reynolds, Jack Black, Ryan Cranston. I mean, the list goes on. So I didn't expect to see Lucy Liu here. It kind of took me by surprise. So, but yeah, you know, this you know, big BD Wong fan, sounds like both of us are. And you know, I did like his struggle in this episode because he was trying to keep a foot in both worlds. And obviously, it's revealed that he's you know, deeper into things than we were initially told or think at the beginning of the episode. And I really liked when he goes like full on Jesus flipping over the tables of the temple at the end of the episode. Yeah, that was a great moment, wasn't it?
yeah, it was awesome. It was great that he finally said, you know, enough is enough. And, you know, I guess he had his own motivations as to why he never revealed what was going on. Because again, like, you know, like you said, you don't understand what it's like, you know, coming into this country, or you know, being an immigrant of, you know, or a child of an immigrant, and you know, living in this culture and stuff like that. So you know, that was a really nice moment where, like, you know, he said, "That's it, I can't do this anymore."
Right, and the game being rigged was a great twist, I think, because I didn't see that coming either on first view.
Yeah.
Well, the end though, I really don't understand the end. Could you help me understand that, Tanya?
So from what I got was that, probably, you know, the other actor who's the main antagonist, who I can't recall his name, but again, there's another great actor that I've known since I was a child in one of my favorite movies from the 80s, Big Trouble in Little China. He was the bad guy in that movie too, and he's been in tons of other movies. But of course he gets away, or somehow he's gonna get off. But it seems like the shadow organization that still runs this thing pretty much kidnaps BD Wong, and for his punishment for, you know, giving up the operation and betraying what he was supposed to, you know, he was involved in it. He was paid off to not say anything, look the other way, you know, divert the cops from any of the evidence and things like that. And I guess for his punishment, he got cooked in the oven there. Just, you know, as a punishment. That's pretty much what I got out of it. So the organization is still around, you know.
I was wondering if they were trying to do like The Village, you know, spoilers for The Village, like oh, the ghosts are real, they're not real, oh, they're real again, you know. I thought they might have been trying to do something like that at the end, but that's a pretty, I kind of run with that explanation, because at first, like, oh wait, were they real, did they get him, you know? You know,
yeah, no, I mean, pretty much when you take away from it, there was no, like, ghosts. They, you know, that's what they use to scare the people, you know, because they are so superstitious and they are, you know, still based in their traditions, that they believe, yes, you know, there are spirits that can curse us if we don't follow through with, you know, our promises or whatever. But in the end, you just know those were really, because they mentioned in the beginning that Mulder mentions that these deaths like that was happening, it was happening in other cities. So, you know, it's like some kind of, you know, syndicate mob thing going on in other cities that have, you know, populations, heavy populations of Chinese immigrants and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like an organized crime syndicate, basically. So they're, you know, physical, actual people doing this. So they just ended up just kidnapping him, cleaning out his apartment, making it look like he ran off, but actually ended up killing him and, you know, basically destroying the evidence, because he was the one that was supposed to turn state evidence and blow the whole thing open. But now they don't have their evidence anymore. So
right, and you mentioned the game master, who's called the Hard Face Man, not in the episode, mm-hmm. but you know, in the classic X-Files mythology, you have the well manicured man, cigarette smoking man.
Right.
He's the Hard Face Man.
Right.
He's played by James Hong, is the actor's
James
name.
James Hong. Yeah,
he was great.
Yes.
He really gave off like a cigarette smoking man vibe the whole episode.
He did.
And then he lights a cigarette,
and he actually smoked a cigarette. Yeah,
so good.
I thought that, I never noticed that, and I was rewatching it the other day for this, and I was like, oh man, they even made him smoke a cigarette? Like, wow. Like, they were just trying to make some kind of crazy parallel, you know? But yeah, I thought it was cool. I thought that was a cool little nod to the smoking man. The really evil guy always has to have a cigarette.
All right, Tanya, well, it's time to talk about Jose Chung's from Outer Space, written by Darren Morgan, directed by Rob Bowman, and aired on April 12th, 1996. Now, this is my favorite episode of The X-Files. What about you?
It is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites. My absolute top favorite is Bad Blood. That's my favorite episode of The X-Files ever. But this is one of my top 10 favorite episodes, definitely.
Yeah, for me, well, it does just a masterful job explaining what's behind the mythology. You know, even though it's in a humorous way, it completely makes sense. You know, like you could really take this as canon, you know, if right. Use a word like, oh, the government is dressing up as gray aliens, and those are all those guys are fake, and then all the other aliens, right. Like the black oil and the monster that we see in this episode, right? Like those are right. All real aliens, and I really like that conceit. And absurd as it all seems, that's all part of the plan, and it's a brilliant way to cover up what's really going on. It you know, it makes perfect sense to me. So,
right, yeah, it's like the double cover-up type of thing, you know, with giving the false memories and stuff like that. And, I mean, they've kind of hinted at that throughout the season, but this one pretty much says, okay, so the government is doing these alien abductions for whatever reason and planting these false memories in there, but there are actual aliens still, because they end up kidnapping the fake aliens, which I thought was pretty hilarious that the stop motion
the creature, yeah.
Yeah, Lord Kimboat, you know, was a really, really funny way to
happening.
Show like what
this
the
is
real,
not happening.
Yeah.
This is not happening.
Yeah, it was just a really funny way to show that real alien. Although I'm a little disappointed that we have not seen that alien ever again.
Well, there's still hope in
apparently
season 11.
He exists.
There's still hope.
I know, that's true.
Hashtag Lord Kimboat, season 11. Well, you know, since this is Darren Morgan episode, it kind of exists in mm-hmm. its own, like the Darren Morgan canon of the X-Files. You know, Mulder is always portrayed a certain way and whatnot.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't really contradict anything more than, you know, well, the general mythology contradicts itself anyway. So you can
right,
find
right,
your way
yeah.
and find a way to fit it in to the explanation of everything. And I do love that. And, of course, you know, some great guest appearances here by Alex Trebek and Jesse Ventura as the Men in Black.
Ventura,
so
yeah.
good, right?
Yeah. I would like to know, like, that session where they were deciding, okay, who's going to play the Men in Black? Like, where did they get the idea? Like, you know, I always wanted Jesse Ventura and Alex Trebek to be in an episode. Hey, how about we make them the Men in Black? Like, you know, like, I obviously, this part couldn't have been written for them, but how do you just, like, say, oh, you know what? Yeah, they'll be perfect. I guess, you know, the absurdity of it goes with the absurdity of the whole storyline. You know, this alien abduction between these two kids. So I guess it just works.
Yeah, and they're not. It's not really Alex Trebek or Jesse Ventura. You know, they're using, from my interpretation, right? They're using the hypnotism to, you know, make you think you saw him, which would make your story sound even more absurd. Again, playing
right.
into the cover up also brilliantly. So, and then Jose Chung,
yeah.
a great character, right? Charles Nelson Reilly, just a hilarious
yes.
character actor. I mean, and he returns in an episode of Millennium as well. He's one of those characters that is kind of, like, annoying, but in a charming way, right?
Yeah. I thought he had a great line that, you know, Scully asks him, you know, why would you do a book about this? And he's like, you know, honestly, it's about money. Like, at the end of the day, he just wants to make a buck, you know? So he doesn't even care about, like, how crazy the story sounds. As long as he makes it sound good. You know, he'll do it. He doesn't, you know, he's not really invested in the whole conspiracy or anything like that. You know, it was funny to see Scully, like, be a fangirl, one, you know, that was really awesome. And then two, of sci-fi, or, you know, and it was like, wait a minute, you know, or I guess crime drama or something, but you wouldn't think, like, Scully would be a fan of that. You know, or say, you know, that was the greatest book you ever written, or, you know, like, it was very interesting to see that part of that side of Scully in the episode. You know, I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed that.
you know, they say that inconsistency of character is character, right? Because, you know, mm-hmm. every person just doesn't fit, like in real life, every person just doesn't fit into these categories. Like, oh, well, I like these four things, so therefore I will not like these two things. So when you right. have characters like Scully, who might have a weird interest like that, it takes you by surprise, but then it kind of makes her a more three-dimensional character at the same time. She's not always the Dr. Wagner, Figner, Mulder's face, but like, no, Mulder, this is all BS. And then the framing device, you know, of the conversation between Scully and Jose Chung, you know, in order to tell the story that way was a great framing device, because then you see them telling the story and like you have like the other police officers saying, oh, that blankety blank blank hole, and
right. And she's like, he didn't really say that. And he's like, oh, I'm familiar with him.
Oh,
yeah, I do like that they put that in the episode, that instead of making him just come up with saying heck or damn, like they just put blank when you know like he really is cursing. I thought it was awesome. Like, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
It's almost as a precursor to frack.
Yes,
basically.
A precursor to frack. Absolutely. You know, and then at the end of the episode, I really liked how they had Mulder watching the Patterson Gimlin Bigfoot film, like mm-hmm. one of the most famous, you know, things in anything in cryptozoology or even the paranormal or unexplained, because that's a subject I don't think the X-Files ever really did any justice is Bigfoot. You know, they had the Jersey Devil episode,
yeah,
but that's not really Bigfoot. You know, they kind of made him a caveman right. and all that, you know, I know,
and it was wild people, in the woods.
You know, episodes are in short supply, right? In future seasons mm-hmm. 11, maybe anything beyond that. I would really like to see them do a Bigfoot episode. That would be awesome.
Considering of all the creatures they've touched on, that is definitely strangely one creature that I'm really surprised the X-Files has never really touched at all. And I would love to see a Bigfoot episode or a Sasquatch, something. That would be awesome. That would be awesome to see.
And I also love that that's what Mulder just, you know, watches late at night when he's alone. It's so
that's
Mulder. Yeah, right? Is that not, that's not that's the equivalent of what he's doing, right?
But yeah, it's definitely one of the great, one of the best comedic, of course, episodes that they've had, and one of the best episodes, I think, overall. It, you know, breaks some of the rules that it set itself for. So, you know, I really liked it. And then, similar to Bad Blood, you kind of see like other people's interpretations of Mulder and Scully, which I always enjoy.
Her hair was red, you know, but a little too red.
Too red, yeah. And then, like, you know, that kid, he says that Scully threatened him. She goes, if you say anything about this, you're a dead man. She, like, pushes him. She's like, I did not do that. You know? She's like, I let him into autopsy.
As funny as that is, it all plays into the greater theme of the episode, which is all about perception and what you experience and how that experience mm-hmm. translates and all that. So it's like, it's all so funny, but it's also layered. And that's what all the best Darren Work episodes do. They have a theme, and even through the comedy, that theme is prevalent. So just a genius mm-hmm. episode of Masterwork, and my favorite episode of the whole series. All right, Tanya, well, if people want to find you out there on the internet, talk to you about the X-Files or anything else, where can they find you?
I am on Twitter at Amazon Agent. Also am on YouTube. I put up a couple of reviews. I actually have a couple of X-Files-related reviews for some figures and the DVD box set and other video games. I'm really into video games and stuff. I also cast with a couple of friends on Twitch TV, twitch.tv/AmazonAgent, and Instagram, Amazon Agent as well on Instagram. Sometimes I post up some X-Files fun stuff up there and stuff like that. But I post other things, anything geeky, anything gamey, that's me. So you can catch me on those things.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. I'm also the host of my own podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show. You can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. And I'm also a host on the Trek FM network, where I'm the host of Standard Orbit, our original series podcast. And you can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the XCast itself, you can find us on Twitter at @X_cast. And on Facebook, you can find us at the XCast X-Files Podcast Fan Group. Well, the podcast and I will be back tomorrow covering Avatar and Quagmire, but until then, trust no one.